the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Open this scripture to us, Father, as we talk about it in a little bit different format. Use that format to give us some new insights into who you are and who we are and how much you love us. And we ask that in the Savior's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's that time of year and everybody's talking baseball. One of the big problems is that a lot of teams seem to be having trouble this year with poor hitting. Even if you have great pitching, unless you have some hitting and score runs, you're going to lose the game, as we found out last night. So one of the important players on any team is what they call the power hitter. Well, our text for this morning tells us that you and I are no power hitters. It speaks of the time when you and I were still powerless. So I want to share a little story with you this morning, told in baseball terms. After all, the Bible starts off talking about a ball game. You remember the very first verse says, "In the big inning, God." You see, the American League did something about powerless hitters. Historically, most pitchers have been poor hitters. And while there have been some exceptions, such as Babe Ruth, who started out as a hitter, as a pitcher, generally it has been true that pitchers are notoriously poor hitters. So the American League invented something called the designated hitter. In reality, the designated hitter is merely a substitute for the pitcher when it's his turn to bat. The difference is, ordinarily, when you substitute for someone in the major leagues, that person is out and cannot be reinserted into the game. But with the designated hitter, the pitcher is still in the game. It's just that someone else bats for him. Now, this morning, I want to talk about God's designated hitter. Back when things began, God created a player named Adam. Now, Adam was a nobody. He was nothing. Like some people say, he was just dirt. But God brought him up to the big league. And God said, "Now, Adam, if you play on my team, you are really in the big leagues. But to stay up here in the big leagues, you have got to play like a big leaguer. And that means playing ball the way I, the coach, tell you to play." Now, Adam, as the coach, to stay on my team, I want to tell you, you have to bat 1,000. I don't want you to strike out when you get up to bat. I'll give you some signals to tell you what to do. And so God began to explain. He said, "Now, I'll give a lot of signals, but they don't mean anything until I touch my shoulder. That means hit away. Or I pull my cap, and that means take. I'll do a lot of things, God. I'll touch my nose, my chin, I'll pull my ear, I'll hit my chest, I'll clap my hands. But when I touch my shoulder, that means what? Hit away. Or I'll touch my nose and my chin and that and this and my cap. And that means, all right, means take." Now, that's not exactly what God said, but it's close. It's pretty close because God gave Adam some instructions and expected him to follow them. You see, God said to Adam, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." So Adam is playing in the big league. The game depends on him. As a matter of fact, the future of everybody on the team depends on him. Now, the catcher naturally is playing for the other side. And the scripture tells us that he is more crafty than anyone. And he says to Adam, Adam, you can't hit my pitcher. And Adam looks at God, who's in the coach's box on the third base line. And God gives some signals. And that means what? Take. And the pitcher winds up, and Adam thinks, I can hit this guy. And the pitcher throws the ball, and he swings away and misses. And the umpire throws up his right hand, and he screams, strike one. About that time, the ball girl, whose name is Eve, comes up to give the ump some new balls. Now, the catcher is really a snake in the grass. And he and he says to her, surely your batter doesn't have to do what the coach says. That's in Genesis 3:1. So the batter, the ball girl, whispers to Adam, you can't hit this guy. Let him walk you. He won't be able to get it across the plate. And Adam looks down at third base, and God gives him some signs, and that means, and so the pitcher winds up, and Adam thinks about the ball girl and how much baseball she knows, and when the pitcher throws, he let it go by, and it splits the heart of the plate. And the ump throws up his right hand again, and he cries out, strike two. Well, when the count is 0-2, you are in a tough spot. The pitcher has a great advantage, and Adam doesn't know what to do. He's frightened now. And as the catcher is giving the sign to the pitcher, he leans over and leers at Adam, you will not surely strike out. For surely you know more than the coach himself, and you will be as smart as he is. That's Genesis 3:4. Adam looks at God, and God gives him the sign, which is confusing. I didn't mean to hit there. He gives him a sign. And the pitcher throws the ball, and in a panic, Adam swings at a really bad pitch and whiffs. Strike three, screams the umpire with a smirk on his face. You're out of there. And up in the broadcast booth, the announcer says, and that's a loser. Game is over. Adam's lost. As a matter of fact, when Adam loses, everybody loses. And now Adam's out of the big league. He's not done what the coach has said. And God has told him what he needed to do, but standing up there at the plate when he was at bat and the whole game depending on him, Adam listened to the ball girl and the catcher from the other team, and now he's thrown out of the ballpark, and the Bible says God puts two policemen at the gate so he can't get back in. And he isn't on God's team anymore. He isn't even sent to one of God's farm teams. No worse news than that. He's sent to an entirely different league. A team that doesn't even play in the same league with God. Well, Adam surely hated being shipped out. He liked playing in the big league. He liked playing on God's team. After all, like the Bible says, God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. On God's team, I guess you got to fly to the other towns, and your locker room was terrific, and you didn't have to share your locker with four other guys. In God's league, you actually had hot water in the shower, and you didn't have to bring your own soap. You didn't have to ride the bus from place to place, and you got to eat at nice places instead of the fast food places. Adam's new league was literally the pits. So Adam worked hard at batting practice, but no matter how hard he worked, his batting average was poor. Some seasons he could hit maybe 150, and sometimes he could even get it up to 183. Sometimes he could get a scratch single, and sometimes maybe a Texas leaguer, but he could never break 200 batting, let alone bat 1,000 to get back up on God's team. The fact is, like you and me, he struck out most of the time. But you know, God still thought a lot of Adam. He missed him, and he still cared about him. And he really wanted Adam to play on his team. But the fact is, no matter how much you like somebody or care about someone, if that person can't play ball, well, he just can't play on the Lord's team. Like the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. So God thought about it for a long time, and finally he had an idea. It was true that Adam had not followed the instructions, and it was true that he had struck out and ruined the whole team as well, including the bat girl. But maybe there was some way to get Adam back in the game. Now, to be on God's team meant you really had to play perfectly. You couldn't make an error, a strikeout, and be on God's team. But maybe there was some way to help Adam and his teammates get back into God's league. So all winter, during the hot stove league, God thought about it. It didn't happen. God had an idea. He called it the Bethlehem deal. It was an unusual idea, but maybe it would work. God hesitated for a moment because it meant trading his best player, a guy named J.C. And God really loved J.C. because J.C. was not only the best player there ever was, he was also the coach's son. So he called him into his office and he talked to his player. J.C. had a no-cut contract, and he couldn't be traded without his permission. But when God told him his plan, then J.C. agreed right away. When the sports writer at the Heavenly Herald got wind of it, he spread it all over the front page of the news of the sports section. And he wrote, J.C., being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. That means he went to the minor league. Taking the very nature of a servant, being in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, that means he looked like somebody who played on that team. He humbled himself and became obedient to death. Well, that was big news. God's best player went to the minors in that other league for Adam. And when it came Adam's turn to bat, J.C. batted for him, and do you know what? The first time he got up, the pitcher tried to make a fool out of him. He threw him a couple of tempting off-speed pitches about bread and about the kingdoms of the world and jumping off the stadium. But it didn't work. And J.C. stepped back and pulled one down the right field line for a home run. He was a wonderful hitter. He hit 1,000. Nobody had ever done it in that league before. Well, you can imagine how furious the pitcher was. J.C. just laughed and said, "Get behind me, pitcher." And the next time J.C. came up, the pitcher looked over at his dugout and he got a sign. And the hometown fans began to shout, "Hit him, hit him." And the pitcher did just what they hoped he would. He threw a beanball. Well, sad to say, he was right on target. He caught J.C. right on the temple. And he went down. And he whispered, "It's finished." And he didn't move after that. And the ambulance came and they took him off. And one of the policemen standing around said, "Surely he was a player from the other league." And a baseball writer wrote, "You see," he said, "at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Jesus died for the ungodly. He batted for us." And God said to Adam, "Adam, J.C.'s batted in your place. He's done for you what you couldn't do for yourself. He's batted 1,000. And if you'd gone up to bat again, that beanball was meant for you. He's taken your place. And he took that hit for you. And if you will let him get in the batting order for you, you and any of your teammates who want to can come back up here to my league and play in my ballpark again." Well, Some of the players on Adam's team didn't want to do that. They said, no, I'll do it myself. I'll bat for me. I don't need any help. I can make it back to the big league on my own. But you know, none of them ever did. They couldn't make it on their own. They kept trying, and they'd bat 150 and sometimes even as high as 183. But they never could break even 200, let alone hit enough to make it to the big time. So they never got to play in God's league again, even though God wanted them on His team. And some even went around pretending they played on God's team in the off season, but you could tell from their batting average they really weren't on God's team. And there may be some of you here this morning who aren't on God's team and you think you can make it on your own, but I want to tell you, you can't. But Adam thought about it a long time. He missed the big league. He missed the team, and he missed having God as his coach. So he said to God, God, I can't even hit 200. How can I ever play on your team again? And God said, well, Adam, I have a thing called the designated hitter. And if you will let my designated hitter bat for you, you can play on my team. Yes, while we were still powerless, J.C. went to bat for us. Well, that's the way it is. The coach expected us to bat 1,000, but only one player ever did it. And on top of that, he went to bat to take that beanball that would have come to every one of us. He took our place and died our death. And do you know what? They took J.C. to the morgue. And God went there to see about J.C., and the amazing thing happened. J.C. came walking out of the morgue like nothing had ever happened. And he's still alive, playing on God's team in the big league. But you can tell where he was hit. The marks are still there. And you know it's really him. And God said, hey, everybody plays on my team. And don't have to go to the morgue and stay either. Everybody here can play on God's team. You may not have much of a batting average this morning. But you know something? God has a batting coach called HS for short. His name's really Holy Spirit. And with His help, your batting average can keep climbing and climbing. As you let Him tell you how to bat, you can get better and better. It'll take you a long time to bat 1,000, but it really doesn't matter. You see, the coach says the designated hitter bats 1,000, and since he always takes your place when it's your time to bat, you can stay in his league until you do learn to hit 1,000. Well, it's your turn to bat. You want to hit for yourself, or do you want to let God's designated hitter bat for you? You see, that's a decision that everybody has to make for himself. It just depends on what league you really want to play in. Let's pray.